another way in which nonviolent communication supports people in living the life they choose to live instead of the life that sometimes they have been programmed by their culture to live is to know how to deal with other people's messages that come at you in a way that never gives other people the power to dehumanize you. I'm going to be talking in greater depth about this in a later session on the subject of empathy. But for the moment, I'd like to concentrate on how we can train ourselves never to give our power away to other people. I ask a lot of people, what are you afraid to say? Give me examples of when you're afraid to be honest, afraid to be yourself, to say something. And when people in the group have thought of what they're afraid to say, they write down what the message might sound like. I then ask them, what makes you afraid to say that? And almost everybody answers my question of why they're afraid this way. Well, I'm afraid that if I said that, the other person might... And then they tell me what they think the other person might say to them or think of them. And I point out to people how concerned I am about thinking that that's what we have to be afraid of, how other people might respond to us. That is what they might say about us or think about us. And I point out that by doing that, we're giving our power to other people. We're thinking that our safety depends on how other people might respond to us. I then try to show people that our need is to be concerned with how we respond to how the other person responds. That's where our safety is, in how we learn to respond to other people's judgments or criticism of us, but not to give our power away by thinking that our safety is solely how they might respond. So in other words, our safety is in how we respond to other people, not in how they respond to us. And I then show them how we have all these choices when people say things to us. How we can take it personally and feel shame, how we can judge them and feel angry, or how we can empathically connect with them. And then, when we do that, we can learn from whatever that person is saying in a way that's valuable to us. So in this way, people can see that our safety is a result of how we respond. That puts our safety in our hands and doesn't give our power away to other people. In schools that we've created, which we call nonviolent communication schools in some areas, and we have other names for them in other areas, but in these schools, we teach the teachers and the administrators and the students how to speak nonviolent communication. My oldest son went to a school like this, where the students all learn nonviolent communication. And we want the students to know what I was just saying, that your security rests in your hands. Don't ever give up your security to the structures in which you're in or to other people's messages toward you. And one of my happiest days as a parent occurred when my oldest son came back from a public school for the first time. The school he had gone to, I had had a chance to train the teachers, but in the public school, the teachers communicated in a way that's not what I would like to see how teachers or administrators would communicate with students. My son came home the first day, and I asked him, "How is the new school, Rick?" And he said, "It's okay, Dad, but boy, Dad, some of those teachers, wow." I said, "What happened?" He said, "Dad, I was only halfway through the front door of the school, and some man teacher comes running up to me and says, 'My, my, look at the little girl.'" The teacher was reacting to my son's hair, which was down to his shoulders at the time. So this is unfortunately rather typical of many schools. Look at the lessons my son was learning from being halfway through the door. Lesson number one, there's a right and a wrong way to do everything, such as how to wear your hair. Lesson number two, who knows what's right? The people with the highest title, in this case, the teacher knows what's right. Lesson number three, try to influence shame and guilt to get people to do as you want. Lesson number four, it's a shame to be a girl. All of those lessons very quickly in my son's halfway through the door of the school. So I said to my son, how did you handle it? He said, I remember what you said, Dad, that when you're in that kind of structure, never give the structure or the people in it the power to make you submit or rebel. This is one of the things that I would hope we all help our children to learn. How to learn how to come from your own spirituality. How to answer for yourself, what's the way in which I choose to live. And to learn how to sustain that and stay conscious of it, regardless of the structures you're in, or regardless of how people within those structures speak to you. So I said to my son, wow, am I glad that you could remember that under those conditions. I said, what did you do then?
He said, I just tried to hear his feelings and needs, Dad. I just guessed that he was irritated and wanted me to cut my hair.
Now, this is another lesson that we would like children to learn, how to see people's humanness no matter how they communicate. And once again, I was very delighted that my son could remember to do that. And I said to him, how did you feel after you heard what you thought he might be feeling and needing? He said, Dad, I felt sad for the man. He was bald and seemed to have a thing about hair. So this is one of the lessons that nonviolent communication is designed to help us remember at all times, no matter what structures we're in. To never give the structure or its rules the power to determine what we do, to make sure that each of our actions comes from our consciousness of our own values and our choosing to act in harmony with our own values. In this way, we are not submitting or rebelling. We are acting in harmony with our own values each moment. Walter Wink, the theologian, says it's very important to be conscious that institutions have their own spirituality. So many structures are set up in a way that are designed to get people to obey authority no matter what the authority wants them to do. So I would hope that we educate ourselves that no matter what structures we're in, we stay connected to our own spirituality and neither submit nor rebel. And then I hope that we all develop the skill that my son demonstrated by no matter how people speak to us, whatever their titles, that we try to see their humanness, but not to give them the power to make us submit or rebel, and not to give them the power to create shame on our part, depression on our part. But this requires some skills that we'll be talking about in subsequent sessions that will show us how to see other people's humanness, even when they are speaking to us in a violent language, and even if they have positions of power within institutions that do not share values of compassion.
This concludes Session 2 of the Nonviolent Communication Training Course with Marshall Rosenberg. Our program continues with Session 3.